In the midst of all this restoration, there's a lot of little decisions. I had no idea there were that many little decisions around all the time. And one of the decisions is about, well, what are these new canvases that are going to be up on the wall right behind me? The new purification and the presentation canvases going to look like? And generally, we're pretty happy with what they look like. And Father Eric and I were brought in to sort of give our opinion about it. And they looked amazingly good, and they will. But there was one thing that was missing on these images, and that was they didn't have halos. The halos that one sees in all the stained glass windows of all the saints are up on the ceiling as well. And so the artist was saying, well, you know, if you put halos in, it won't quite fit with this and it won't quite fit with that. And listen, friends, you hired me for a lot of things. You didn't hire me for my artistic ability, okay? But we said, that's just too bad. They're going to have halos because as part of our tradition, we talk about the radiance of saints. That's one reason why we have the saints in the windows, is because in a very visual way, we believe that God's grace shines forth through those people that cooperate and live in God. And so we have that very visual representation of it. And maybe you know people like that. In a way, they're transcendent. They are of this world, but they bring us something, a little glimpse of yet another world. And we see this a lot, the desire for it at least, in our world all the time. People talk about self-transcendence. You get this when people talk about being spiritual but not religious. And they get it mixed up in a lot of cases. I was talking to a person this week, and he said, well, you know, I figure my emotions and my spirituality are the same. And I said, well, then good luck to you, because sometimes you is up and sometimes you is down. And if that's what you think spirituality is, you're wrong. We believe, and we know, because we have been taught, not just because of some cleverly devised myth, as St. Peter said in the second reading, we believe that it is God who we seek. It is God who we seek. And God calls us in a profound way. And he calls us not just to be more of ourselves, he calls us to go beyond ourselves. That's the meaning of transcendence. And you can be able to be a worshiper in a different church, like a worshiper in the Church of St. Oprah or something, and you can believe in a different kind of self-transcendence. But in our current parlance and our current vocabulary, the idea of self-transcendence doesn't cut it. And here's why. Because to be self-transcendent says that, in effect, all that power is going to come through you. And you know what? It can't. And if we stop and think about it, you'll see why. When people hit difficulties and problems in life, and we all do, we all hit those difficulties and problems, large and small, sometimes very temporary, and as you well know, sometimes very long-lasting. Isn't that the case? The problem about being self-transcendent is it takes time. It takes time to do that kind of searching and to discover everything anew yourself. Who's got that kind of time? All you people that have raised children, you know exactly what I mean. It can be very, very busy. Isn't that true? It can be very busy if you are trying to establish a career or the various things about the people that you care for in life that will take up more and more of your time if you're at the other end of your life in the sandwich generation and having more people to take care of. The difficulty is that there's only so much time in the world, and we have to seek good authority. We have to seek those people who have true knowledge. And to take that means that, in effect, we are saying that God will give us that wisdom and knowledge, which are gifts of the Holy Spirit, through proper authority, through people, in effect, and sources that we can trust. Then, too, people that want to be self-transcendent, they always think that they're going to be able to have the whole idea of support from people around you, so that we're all looking for the right thing. People will say this, well, we're all looking for the same God. And I'll say, no, we aren't. I know people that aren't looking for God at all. In fact, they block God right out of their life. I know people that are actively trying to get you not to look for God. We're in a society where we have all kinds of people that are militant atheists, that are so-so atheists, that are people that are would-be agnostics, etc. Don't look for support necessarily in society to become a deeper, more spiritual person, especially if your faith makes you a person that will be going against the current in our society. Thirdly, there's a difficulty when it comes to this whole idea of having enough strength and will to be able to continue on in that spiritual journey. Because you know why? Our will is compromised. It really is. Our will doesn't always direct us to the things that are good for us. You know, tell anybody that, you know, you shouldn't eat that chocolate cake that's in front of you because you're a diabetic or you're trying to lose weight. I know, but I want that chocolate cake, right? And that's just a minor thing. But it's certainly true in the rest of our lives. We don't always seek the good. We should want to seek the good. Oh, yeah. But there's lots of things I want to do and I don't want to do, right? Isn't that the case? Yeah, I want that, but boy, I want to be able to lose weight, but I'd rather sit here and watch a cooking show, right? I want to be able to do this. I want to be a better person, but my will is compromised by sin. And my will, because it is compromised by sin, is necessarily hobbled. It's necessarily limited. So how then are we to be able to have a will that's actually focused and correct and right? And it's strength too. Everybody's strength only goes so far. You know, you strive for this and you strive for that, and then one gets tired. Or that whispering in one's ear, spiritually speaking, to say, take it easy. There's lots of time. The difficulty, of course, with self-transcendence is that, as well, we don't know exactly what it is we're aiming for. What is it that you want? What is it that you want to be? How do you want to get there? All of us are limited in that knowledge. Only God is unlimited in his knowledge. And so we have to be able to say, well, I need to be able to have a knowledge that is deep enough to say, what is my final goal? That's what the place of religion is. The place of religion is to help us become transcendent. It is to help us to know God, seek God, and to be able to find and then hold on to what we have found in God. Why we do what we do at Mass is because we believe that we are here given the strength and the grace necessary to be able to be fully transcendent. That it isn't just enough for ourselves. It's hard enough sometimes just to get here, right? It's hard enough sometimes just to be able to hold on to what we believe. We need to be able to have that strength, that support. The rest of what we have and what we seek is to be found because we say, first hold fast to that which is true and good, and then the rest will follow. That's why we believe what we believe within the Catholic Church. We believe that God's grace, that is his life, is here to be able to sustain, support, to guide, and to direct us into our final end. When St. Peter was talking in this second reading, he wasn't just talking just intellectually. He was saying, I know of what I speak because I was there. I was there. And even though he didn't have a full comprehension of what was happening, he said, I know what I saw, that Jesus Christ is God, and as he was transformed, so too we will be transformed. St. Paul says in another place, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard the wonders that God has prepared for those who love him. It is because of that love, and because of that certainty of holding on to what we know in truth, that we ourselves are called to be able to share in a small way in that divine vision, whether it is the vision of Daniel, or the vision given to James and John and Peter on Mount Tabor. A few years ago, I was on Mount Tabor, and I was able to celebrate the Mass with these same readings, the Mass of the Transfiguration. And I remember we went up in the midst of fog and mist, and we celebrated the Mass with the seminarians with whom I was traveling, and then we walked out almost providentially. We walked out, we saw the spectacular view, and everything was clear. I thought, wow, what a wonderful image. So often in my life and in yours, we are in mists and clouds. But by the direct action and presence of Jesus Christ, we are called to go out in the fullness of sight so that we too can be able to know what it means to be having a lamp shining in darkness, and that for ourselves, that Christ, the morning star, will never set but will continue to rise, to illuminate, to support, to guide, and to direct us so that we too may be able to share in the graces and glory of Jesus Christ, alive, triumphant, and certain in our lives.